This time on Weather Brains.
We've been brainwashed for 20 years. We've been brainwashed on this topic.
It's a Weather Brains Extra. The tropics, looking back and ahead. Colorado State University's Dr. William Gray releases his predictions for the 2007 hurricane season. Plus, the surprise that threw his 2006 season forecast off track.
No one really forecasts that.
And Dr. Gray has plenty to say about Al Gore's global warming crusade.
I don't think what he says is valid at all.
Plus, here in Alabama, James Spann says enjoy the spring-like weather while we've got it.
This is temporary. Cold weather will be back, but sure looks like at least for the next 7 days, we're talking upper 60s and low 70s.
J.B. Elliott is looking for the really cold air, but not finding it.
At least temporarily, we have emptied the Arctic of the bitter cold. There's nothing up there now that's really stand out bitter cold.
Also, a change coming on the air at ABC 3340.
We are having a little change in the weather office and personnel.
And this week in weather history, Bill Murray looks at a major weather event 6 years ago this week in Alabama, one that was captured on camera.
It is truly incredible video.
It's all coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the WeatherNetcast that is all about the weather, put together by the Weather Company from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm one of the Weather Company folks, David Black, saying hello to James Spann, lead meteorologist with ABC 3340 in Birmingham. Mr. Spann, how is your mid-December going?
Hey, mid-December is just going great. It's a great time of the year.
Treating you well. That sounds good. And speaking of a nice December, Brian Peters with us from the Gulf Coast of Alabama, or is it Northwest Florida? Where are you, Brian?
I'm in Miramar Beach, which is just east of Destin, Florida. So I'm in Northwest Florida, and it has been an absolutely gorgeous day today. Plenty of sunshine, temperatures in the lower 70s. Beautiful.
James, you want to place any bets he's stealing Wi-Fi again?
Yeah, you know, he's probably out there at some coffee shop or, you know, hotel in the parking lot with his little Wi-Fi antenna.
So you're gonna
locked into something.
You going to tell us who the victim is this time, Brian?
No,
or no
absolutely
comment?
Not.
All right. J.B. Elliott with us as well. Hey, J.B., how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir.
You're on a legal connection. You're not swiping Wi-Fi, are you?
I don't think so.
Okay. You're a legal kind of guy. And another legal kind of guy is Bill Murray. How are you, Bill? Where are you?
Well, I'm actually at home tonight, Dave.
Home tonight's in central Alabama?
That's exactly right.
Wow. You're not in New Mexico or somewhere. I just don't know what to think anymore.
No, next week is the terrible travel week for me. It'll be 4 Christmas parties in 5 days, all the way from Baltimore to Kansas City.
Well, you're just a traveling kind of guy, as we've talked about in the past. You're in the hotel and hospitality business, and your work takes you all over. How many frequent flyer miles do you score in 6 months anyway? You even keep track of it?
Well, you know what I do, David. I go on what is the least expensive route, so I never concentrate everything on one airline. So I looked up on Thursday. I was getting on a plane to Memphis, and my construction director was getting on the same plane, and he was sitting in first class, and I was back in coach.
Hmm.
And I said, something's wrong with this equation.
Yeah, a little fishy there. Hey, I'll tell you something that sure has been nice. And Brian, you said you've had some very nice weather on the Gulf Coast. James, we've had a picture perfect day, kind of really more like spring here in almost the middle of December. What's going on with the weather picture?
It's pattern flip, David. You know, we had almost record cold last week. I think JB, correct me if I'm wrong, 8 degrees was the coldest Friday morning. Is that right?
Yes, that was up at where was it?
Belmina.
Yeah, this, yeah. By the way, it is pronounced Belmina. The second E and the first name is silent.
Yeah, but anyway, David, we've gone from 8 degrees to some 70s today.
So why the swap here? Why the big swing?
Well, you know, it's the old upper air pattern. We had the big trough in the east and the perfect mechanism for delivering cold air from the Arctic region last week, and that whole pattern has lessened. And one of the teleconnections we monitor is the North Atlantic Oscillation. And that thing is kind of going positive. And you really want to see that negative for a major cold air shot for the eastern half of the country. And looks like it's going to trend neutral to positive for the next couple of weeks. And that would probably suggest that much of the eastern states, at least, will be relatively mild for mid-December. but then we note that it wants to go negative out there toward the end of the month. So this is temporary. Cold weather will be back, but sure looks like at least for the next 7 days, we're talking upper 60s and low 70s. Tuscaloosa today hit 70. Montgomery hit 73. How about that for a December day?
Well, when you get spring-like weather this time of year, I think a fear that a lot of folks have is that it's going to be followed by some real nasty weather. Are we in any kind of a situation where we have to watch out for that down the road?
I don't think so. You know, we've got a little wave coming in here tomorrow evening with rain, but severe weather is very unlikely. And after that, we really don't see any rain for the rest of the week. And it is interesting to notice, getting pretty dry down here in the deep south, here in the Birmingham metro. We've only had 0.9 of an inch of rain all month, and the last time it rained was on the 1st of December, so that was 10 days ago. And really, our last good soaking rain here was on that severe weather day for South Alabama, November 15th. We had 1 inch of rain there, so pretty dry, and we might get a half inch tomorrow and tomorrow night, and that certainly is good news. But looks like we'll have some nice, quiet, tranquil days in the weather office for the next 7 to 10 days. But I'm trying to take a week of vacation the week of Christmas. That'll be the week we have the major record cold and ice storm.
Yeah, let's all start forecasting, you know, an ice storm, winter weather. When James is out of the office, everything goes bonkers.
Well, I was just remembering here to a previous netcast just 1 or 2 weeks back. Brian, you said forget seeing a white Christmas this time, and that's pretty typical every year for Alabama, right?
Very typical, yes. I don't think in the classic sense Birmingham has ever had a true white Christmas, and by that I mean snow on the ground and snow falling.
JB, maybe you know some history, or Bill, maybe you can kick in. How close have we gotten to a white Christmas? We've had some close calls, haven't we?
We had some old dirty snow still on the ground 1 year on Christmas Day, but most of it had melted, so it was just a bunch of slush.
So that's as close as we get then.
Yeah, I think a few snow flurries is about as close as we ever get, David.
Okay, well, forget that. James,
and at least temporarily we have emptied the Arctic of the bitter cold. There's nothing up there now that's really stand out bitter, bitter cold. Of course, it's below zero, but nothing like 40 or 50 below like we had not long ago.
So it's not even as cold in some of the normally really frigid places you check up in Alaska and spots like that?
I believe the coldest in Alaska this morning was minus 17 at Arctic Village, and that's not considered extremely cold.
Would be for me. Okay, James, if it's a pretty quiet, tranquil weather pattern this time of year with nothing major going on, what kind of stuff goes on in the weather office right now? Do you have Brian in there, like, vacuuming and stuff, or what's going on in there?
Well, you know, he's down there in Florida doing some kind of, I don't know, what are you doing down there, Brian?
Stealing Wi-Fi.
Stealing Wi-Fi.
I'm just sitting on the beach enjoying the beautiful weather, getting ready for the hectic week before and after Christmas.
I tell you, David, probably the big thing going on here, we are having a little change in the weather office and personnel. We have had very few changes in the 10-year existence of the television station here, but Mr. Oldshoe is going part-time in January, and so he is going to be changing his role and we are looking for another full-time person, so that job is being advertised, and I think it's attracted over 200 tapes, and so we're looking at the tapes fast and furious as they come in. And
JB, get that tape in quick.
No, I'm not qualified.
Man, JB's a, you know, he's a babe magnet. He'd look good on television. But he doesn't want to come up here and work on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday. This is a weekend thing, so.
So the
weekend's free.
So the person who accepts this position will work a few days during the week, and then we'll have weekends regularly to work, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got major chores planned for whoever this person happens to be during the week. We have so many projects we do that this person's going to be really focused on coordinating a lot of our projects, the DVD projects, the weather tour, the primetime specials, you know, producing those things, you know, computer maintenance stuff here. There's just a lot of work that needs to be done, and especially with the TV weather business, as we've talked about here, shifting from just being on TV for a few minutes every, you know, so often to being on the internet 24/7. So we'll see. Like I said, it is so cool to see so many people want to do the weather in Birmingham, Alabama. So
I've never been on TV.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah,
remember,
you
JB?
Have.
Late at night, strapping on that microphone one night.
I remember
after a severe weather event.
Oh, yeah, that was just audio, though.
I think JB's face was on the camera there.
I think you may be right, James. He has made an appearance or two on the air, and of course you've been on the air in past years recounting some major historic events in Birmingham, Central Alabama weather too. He's a library. He's a walking library.
If you go to the 3340 website and go to the weather section and click on video and go to the video vault, you'll see a lot of stories like the super outbreak story. JB looking good on television there. Our 10th anniversary special, he's all over that. He's on a bunch of those videos.
And
you'll see JB on television.
And Bill Murray, he's on the road too much, so it's not going to work for him to send you a resume tape and an application either.
Unless we can get some kind of high-speed internet where you can do video from, the hotel there.
Yeah, some other folks are doing that, aren't they, James? Around the country doing the weather from a central location. So,
We do all the radio that way, David. We're doing 26 radio stations now, of course, with internet audio. Now, video is a whole different creature, but you got to have a lot of bandwidth to do that. But
it's heading in that direction.
It really is. One day we'll get there.
And I still do remember back to the earlier years in Birmingham television when doing the weather for a television station, James, meant you came in about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, left at 10, and that was it. Nothing else going on the rest of the time, right?
I cannot imagine what that would be like. If all I had to do was come in here and stand out there in that green wall for a couple of minutes three times in the evening at 5, 6, and 10 o'clock. And you're right. Back when we worked at Channel 13, that's all we had to worry about. There was no internet feeds. We didn't do any radio back then. Just absolutely staggering. So
yep.
Times have changed.
They sure have. Well, speaking of times, we're going to look back at an interesting time this year and next. Dr. William Gray and his associates at Colorado State University have released their predictions for the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season. Dr. Gray's outlook is that 07 will see a more active season than average. He's predicting 14 tropical storms, 3 of which will become Category 3 or bigger hurricanes. In a Weather Brains Extra, the tropics looking back and ahead, we've caught up with Dr. Gray for you to get his thoughts on both the 06 and 07 hurricane seasons. And if you're getting concerned about the dire predictions coming from former Vice President Al Gore and others about the effects of man-made global warming, Dr. Gray says, don't buy into it. He talks about that with us and about the 2006 hurricane season being an example of not always hitting the nail on the head.
We haven't done so well in some of the years, but we still think in the long haul we do have skill at this extended level.
What are your predictions specifically for
Arizona? Well, our prediction is an above average season for next year. We roughly say about 140% of the average season. We're calling for 14 named storms, 7 hurricanes. The average is about 6. We're calling for 3 major category 3, 4, 5 storms. The long term at Atlantic Basin average for that is 2.3. So we're calling for somewhat above average chance of a major landfall in the U.S. next year. For instance, for the Gulf Coast, we think if you go from Brownsville a round to just north of Tampa, we think about a 40% chance of landfall along the Gulf for next year, when the long-term average is about 30% chance. Anyways, this forecast is primarily based on our idea that the El Nino that came on unexpectedly this last season, we had little indication of it through July, and then suddenly in August and September this El Nino formed in the eastern equatorial Pacific, and no one really forecast that, but it came on very strong and it reduced the Atlantic Basin storms for this year, 06.
Are you more confident that El Nino will not be as big a player in 07?
Well, yeah, that's our forecast is very much based on the idea that we're in this active period, and typically we don't get multiple year El Niñas with the global conditions the way they are now. So we're predicting the El Nino that's now there and will probably go through this this coming winter and spring, will gradually fade out by early summer, such that when the next hurricane season starts in 07, it'll pretty much be gone and not be an inhibiting effect on next year's storms.
As far as 2006 was concerned, Dr. Gray, do you believe Saharan dust played a role in this too?
I think it did in August, yes. I think we had... We really missed our August forecast. We had very little forecast in, storms in August, and what happened was the tropical Atlantic, the moisture content in the middle troposphere just didn't increase as it typically does, and we think it's advection of a lot of very dry air from the Sahara over the tropical Atlantic, and with it was a lot of dust, yes. But now in September, then the moisture came on back, and we had a somewhat above-average September season. But what happened was all these systems that originate in West Africa and move westward across the Atlantic got recurved, and they didn't move as far west as they had the last couple years. And although we had just a slightly below average season for this year, you wouldn't have realized it in the U.S. because we had no landfalling hurricanes for this year. This is the 11th year since 1945, since the war, that we've had no landfalling hurricanes in the U.S.
What do you think are the prospects for an Atlantic landfall versus a Gulf landfall in 07? That's got to be a tough one
to
call.
Well, we can't say for sure. We're calling about the same, about 40. We have our data comes out around 41% for the East Coast and up through Peninsula Florida to a little north of Tampa, and then for the Gulf Coast we're calling 40% chance there, so about the same. However, the Gulf area, the Gulf, if you go from Brownsville up around the Gulf to a little north of Tampa, this area is only about half as long as the area from say Tampa around the Florida coast up to Maine. And so the landfall in both those basins is about the same. So what it amounts to, that the Gulf has about twice the number of landfalling storms per unit of coastal area than does the rest of the U.S. coast. So anyways, in general, we've been very lucky for Gulf landfall up until 04 and 05, when there was a whole pile of Gulf landfall storms.
Does the fact that 2006 was quieter than initially forecast concern you at all with respect to the storm readiness by folks along the Gulf and Atlantic coasts?
I can't really intelligently speak about that, but I do know that people remember very well 04 and 05, and I imagine because they had a year when they didn't have any landfalling, they still remember, they should remember that these storms are very much possible. However, the odds of getting another couple years like 04 and 05 are very low. Those were just unusual years, and but nature works this way some, and I don't think we should attribute these landfalls to human-induced global warming and things like a lot of people have been saying. I think this is just nature operating as it does in a very desultory, complex way.
Well, speaking of global warming, if activity was down considerably in 06, do the so-called alarmists have some explaining to do?
Well, one year, they do, well, they have a lot of explaining to do in my view, but one year doesn't make or break their arguments. So they'll be back. They're still out there. And you can bet if we get a landfall next year that causes much trouble, they'll a whole lot of them will be coming out of the closet claiming this is due to human-induced global warming, We don't think that's the case.
Dr. Gray, former Vice President Gore appeared on television recently and said that he agrees the planet's temperature has indeed experienced up and down cycles, but he says the current up cycle is too extreme. He says it's, quote, way off the charts compared to what those natural fluctuations are. He says scientists say if we let it get that high on the warm side, it would be an utter catastrophe, and it would be unethical and immoral where our children are concerned. And that's a quote. Any response to the Vice President?
Yeah, I think he's totally alarmist there. I don't think what he says is valid at all. I've actually writing a response to his movie. I've seen it twice, and I've been hearing what he's been saying over many years, and I think he's an alarmist there. That the warming we've seen, you know, yes, we have seen some warming the last 30 years and over the last century, but in my view, this warming is primarily due to natural causes associated with the ocean circulation pattern changes, and that my feeling is, having studied this thing for 53 years, worked pretty hard over these years, is that we're probably going to see a gradual cooling trend set in, as we did from the middle 1940s to the middle 1970s, and that Vice President Gore is just off base with his comments, from my point of view.
You feel the American people are getting a lot of misinformation about this right now?
I think so, yeah. We've been brainwashed for 20 years. We've been brainwashed on this topic. And, of course, when you hear and read so much about this human-induced global warming and that the humans are the cause of it, that when you do get a lot of landfalling storms, as we had in 04 and 05, It's, of course, people can accept that humans might be the cause of this much, much better, because they've heard for 20 years, they've been reading in the paper of how the globe is warming and how humans are due to it. I mean, we've had the globe is warm many other periods in the past, which could not be blamed on greenhouse gases. But I think the American people, in the end, are wiser, and as we study more and learn more about this, evidence will be presented, and particularly I think the change will occur if the globe begins to cool some in the next decade or two. I think a lot of these, in my view, false claims will be discredited. There is some new evidence out that in the last 2 years, some of the global oceans have slightly cooled, and I think this will likely keep on going. I'm not at all worried about human-induced global warming. I think we have so many other problems in the world that are real and have to be dealt with that this is kind of a red herring thrown out by those who environmentalists and things who want to change our use of fossil fuels, which is fine. We have a lot of environmental problems in the world, but they should be sold on the specific local environmental problems and not sold under this idea that we're warming the globe and catastrophe will be coming. I think that's gross exaggeration.
Dr. Gray, I understand that you have been the victim, the target of some personal attacks because of your views on this. What do you think of that?
Well, it sort of goes with the territory. I mean, I'm an older guy now. I've been 53 years in the field. Unless they can take my retirement away from me, I'm going to try to tell the truth as best I can. I feel that I have an obligation. I've been funded by the government to do a lot of meteorological, particularly tropical storm research for many, many years. And I think I have an obligation to speak out some if I think statements made by others are not right. I think I have an obligation to do that, and I feel that, and I'm going to keep on doing it. If I, at least I'm going to tell the truth as best I can as I see it. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
You've said in the coming years you're going to be stepping back some, letting Phil Klotzbach come in
and that's right.
become more involved. But you also said you're going to be concentrating more on promoting awareness about global warming, specifically your concerns about what the American people are being told. What are you? How are you going to do that?
Well, I hope to mainly write a book or two on it. I'm very much involved with the whole global warming thing. I don't think I'll dribble it out in individual papers on one topic or no. I would like to write it all down in a few, 200 or 300 pages and let put it out there and let people read it or attack it as they want. I want to do that with regard to how the atmosphere functions in this global warming thing. Then I have another desire, I feel, I hope my health holds up, that I want to get out something to synthesize all our work on tropical cyclones here. I've had 50 master's students and 20 PhD students, and we've turned out a lot of work on tropical cyclone formation, structure, intensity change, motion, and these sorts of topics. And as some of it hadn't been published, other has been dribbled out in various ways, and I'd like to synthesize some of the stuff we've been doing on my project the last 40-some years. That's another desire that I have. So I probably can't accomplish all this, but I'm going to try.
You're 76, I believe?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like you're going to retire anytime quick, Dr.
No, I'm going to go kicking and screaming into the deep night, I hope. As long as I have my health, and which I do for my age, I try to take care of myself, and I'm very interested in what I do. I'm very fortunate that I've got a mission sort of in life to keep on going, and I'm going to keep going. Whether I reach my goal is another thing, but I'm going to keep working at it.
One other question I wanted to ask you. Max Mayfield's last day as director of the National Hurricane Center is in early January. Do you have any thoughts about Mr. Mayfield's tenure there, the job he has done?
Yeah, I think Max has done a wonderful job. We all love Max. He has a way with people and is one of the nicest guys I've known. He's been at the Hurricane Center for 32 years. Well, I've been going down there nearly 50 years, so Max is kind of not the youngest, but he's
you watched him come up through the ranks.
He's younger than me, and I've known him over the years. He's a wonderful person, and I think he's done a great job. He's sort of tried to hold the line against some of this global warming hysteria that's come up with regard storms and I think we're losing a real good person there. I've known all the hurricane forecasters way back to Grady Norton, and that goes back into the 50s. And I think all of them are friends of mine. And I think Max is right along one of the best that there's been there. So I'm sorry, I probably can't get down to his retirement party, but I'll certainly be there in spirit and so on with it.
Dr. William Gray with Colorado State University, Professor Emeritus there. I think it's pretty interesting that he may be scaling back a little bit here, guys, but he is by no means heading out to pasture.
More power to him.
Good for him.
He's going to be around another 10 years at least, and that is great news for us.
Yeah, I think his book would be very interesting, too. No telling what kind of information that will open up and provide to us. So I wish him more power and Godspeed. So he's a very interesting man to talk with. And he's been kind enough to talk with us a number of times previously on WeatherBrain. So that's a good sign.
And, you know, this guy is probably one of the greatest minds in the science of meteorology, yet Oprah is going to pick a politician with no formal education in the science to represent the science And this guy's voice is limited because he doesn't spin it the way that Hollywood likes, and that's sad.
Just the facts. That's what I think his whole approach is all about, just what science shows. So right. Anyway. Bill Murray, have you got anything in the weather vault as far as historical weather for what happened this week in history?
Well, I think probably the most interesting fact from this coming week, David, goes back 5 years to December 16th, or I guess 6 years actually, December 16th of 2000, when an unusually strong December tornado hit Tuscaloosa, killed 11 people, and very nearly came close to killing our very own John Olchu, who was a little bit too close for comfort between the JVC plant and the Hampton Inn down at the Cottondale exit off I-59. And when he ran for cover, expecting the rear entrance of the hotel to be unlocked, unfortunately got there and it was, but some folks heard him knocking on the door and let him in. So came back with some incredible video. But I can remember watching James on television on that Saturday morning and looking at the sky cam from Tuscaloosa and thinking, is that a tornado? About the same time that James spied it and recognized that it was there. And you can actually go back and see that video on our website, because it is truly incredible video.
I can't believe it's been 6 years since that happened.
Amazing, isn't it?
James, you remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I really do. That was the first time that we have ever captured a tornado live on a tower camera. And I was not really that good that day. You know, I'm so used to working the radar, and all of a sudden you're working live video of this thing, and it's a whole different creature. And, of course, since then we've captured, you know, a few tornadoes with the tower cams, but that was the first time anybody on television here has done that. You know, typically ours are just completely rain-wrapped, and that was rain-wrapped, but again, you saw enough of it to know what was going on there. And just a stunning day, and really, in that case, a picture is worth a million words. I'm not so sure I needed to say anything, but for people that were new or not familiar with a shot, I think my main function that day was to point out landmarks in comparison to where the tornado was. So,
really
wild day.
Really changes the dynamics, doesn't it, when you can see what you are talking about and show the danger to people watching.
Right, and I learned that day that people, hey, they're going to take that seriously. The radar stuff is great, but you know, all the shear markers and the little indications on radar, they see a lot of that and nothing happens a lot of times. But you see a tornado on a live sky cam and they'll do something. And that's one of the reasons for the big push for the increase in the sky cam network, is to get more of those things out there.
Yeah, nothing beats the real thing. Got a listener email that I thought we would check out and see if you guys can provide an answer to this. This comes from Jamie Sanford with Load Management at Alabama Power. And Jamie asks, do objects feel the effect of wind chill just as humans and living creatures do? Or does wind chill involve perception that requires our skin surface to be in the equation? Does my car feel the effects of wind chill as I do? How about a tree? Any takers on that?
The wind chill is just for humans. Doesn't apply to poles or trees or anything like that. So that's just how it feels to humans with our flesh and our bodies. So a
right.
Human type deal.
The only way it would make a difference with an automobile radiator is that if the wind's blowing pretty strong, that cold air gets in under the hood better and penetrates more. But like James said, it's just for us humans, the skin.
Yeah, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that original index was created by the military, David, for members of our armed forces in very harsh, cold climates, and that would kind of help them get them ready for going out in that. So I believe the original wind chill index was derived from the military for our troops.
I believe it was true, but back in the early days when the Weather Service started mentioning that kind of stuff, it was first called discomfort index instead of wind chill.
And I think that's a better name for it.
And it also involved the wind and the humidity, and it was just considered a discomfort index. That I think the discomfort index was used for both hot and cold seasons, but I'm not sure on that. I may be off base on that part. I do know that when we first started mentioning dew point, issuing the dew point every hour, we used to only put out the temperature, humidity, wind speed, and wind direction. And we finally started adding sky cover to the hourly reports that we sent to the radio stations. And when we started using dew points, for several years afterward, that was the most often asked question to our office. What in the world is dew point?
That's funny, JB. When I went to visit Don Keith at WVOK when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, he asked me one day, standing in front of the teletype, he said, Bill, do you know what the dew point is? And I knew the answer, and I had instant credibility with him.
That's good.
Very good. Anything else, guys?
Winter is just around the corner. Officially starts December 21st at 6:22 p.m.
My second favorite season.
All right, we'll have to see.
I'd like to know if Peters is wearing his tank top down there at the beach this week.
Yeah, what do you look like, Brian? Give us a visual, but don't be too visual if you
wearing,
know what I mean.
I bet you're wearing a tank top, Bermuda shorts, black socks, and black dress shoes.
No, I was wearing no socks whatsoever because I was frolicking in the cool waters of the Gulf of Mexico.
Not very crowded down there either, is it?
Not very crowded at all.
What's the water temperature, about the Brian?
Beach. Oh, I don't know. It was chilly. My feet were kind of cool.
Brian Peters, Weather Brain, stealing Wi-Fi for any law enforcement listening. Stealing Wi-Fi on the Gulf Coast.
Guilty as charged.
Thought we taught him better than that.
And he's the guy that looks like Colonel Sanders, in case the police are listening.
All right. Now,
Sanders with Bermuda shorts and the black socks and the black dress shoes. Can't miss a guy like that.
Actually, I figured it was going to be so cold, I didn't bring any Bermuda shorts.
With a big box of KFC under his arm.
If you see one guy with, you know, walking the beach with KFC, and now maybe Dakota's with him too, we'll know who it is anyway. Coming up next time on Weather Brains.
I think that some people that have not been impacted recently by hurricanes will let their guard down, because we didn't have any landfalling hurricanes this year at all in the United States.
What made you decide to hang it up? We'll talk with Max Mayfield, outgoing director of the National Hurricane Center. He's stepping down after 34 years of government service. His thoughts on the Hurricane Center and more, that's next time on Weather Brains. A reminder that the opinions you hear expressed on Weather Brains are strictly those of the speaker, not necessarily those of ABC 3340. If you'd like to contact us, pop us an email. The address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, our number is 206-339-5482. For James Spann, J.B. Elliott, Wi-Fi stealing Brian Peters, and Bill Murray, I'm David Black. Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Adios.
I don't need this grief.
You're listening to Weather Brains. Is it brains or brain?
It's Weather Brains. Now, we are not the Weather Brains, but we consider you the Weather Brain, and that's why
we
call you to interview you.
I do have a brain. It may not be very strong, but I try to use it as best I can.
Great show, boys. David, you're the best.
We got to get you on the Discovery Channel, David.
Enjoy it, producer. Keep out of trouble down there, Brian. We get concerned about you. You guys be good.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
I don't need this grief.
Ha ha ha.